Thank you for joining us. We pray that as you listen today, that you are encouraged and inspired. And we would love for you to connect with us on social media. Now here's today's message.
Just encourage you, and I hardly ever do this, but if you were not in the first service, and I talked to Sister Beverly, I said, has the new website killed CD sales? And she said, yeah, we're not selling near as many CDs. That's fine, because it's not all about money. We want to get the word out free. And so you can get on livingwaychurch.net and you can listen to these messages. And I encourage you, listen to 9 a.m. message, because I preached on James chapter 1, verse 8 in a brand new direction that God gave me a couple weeks ago. And I believe it's going to bless you. And I talked about patience and joy and wisdom and faith. And we're going to go a totally different direction today. We're going to preach on faith here this morning in this service. But it will be a blessing at some point this week. They will be up later on this afternoon. But I preached this morning on make up your mind. And a made up mind and not being double-minded is a blessing. So check that out at your convenience. Mark chapter 8, verse 22, and we'll read five verses here. And Jesus came to Bethsaida, and they bring a blind man unto him and besought him to touch him. Verse 23, and he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of town. And when he had spit on his eyes, he put his hands upon him, and he asked him if he saw aught. And he looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. Verse 25, after that he put his hands again upon his eyes and made him look up, and he was restored and saw every man clearly. And he sent him away to his house, saying, neither go into the town nor tell it to any in the town. I'm borrowing, I believe the youth just had a series on this, but I'm borrowing this, and this is where God started this when I saw their series. I want to preach for just a few moments on the title, Look Again. Look Again. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, take one more look. Tell him, look one more time, and everything's going to change. How many of you received that word today? How many of you can just testify, Pastor, I've been looking at it and it hadn't changed yet, but I'm going to look again. I'm going to make sure that what God has promised, I'm going to make sure that I see it come to pass in my life. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Look again. Look again. The Bible says that without vision, people perish. Sight is what you see with your physical eyes. Vision is seeing what God sees. We have a lot of people that base everything in their life on what they can physically see with their eyes. That if they cannot see it, they simply do not believe it. But for us believers, when faith steps in, faith takes over where sight begins to fail us. Faith steps in and says, Brandon, I know you can't see it. But just because you can't see it does not mean it's not there. I'm preaching to somebody. And just because you see it does not mean it does not exist. I know many times the greatest blessings in my life have blindsided me because I did not see them coming. You know, a lot of times you can see something coming and you can brace for the impact or you can get ready for it. But sometimes God does it a different way. And though we are expecting God to do it, God doesn't do it on our timetable. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. His ways are higher than ours, Isaiah says. And so sometimes God does it in a way that we are not expecting the way he does it. And so it blindsides and surprises us. But I want to speak to somebody today that God has promised you something coming into this year, coming into this month, or perhaps a couple years ago. And what he has promised you, you have not seen yet. But I am here to declare to you that if you will look again, and if you will keep going to the window of your life and look, that God is going to do what only God can do. That God is going to show up and he's going to show out and bring the manifestation in your life of the need that you have presented to God. But the problem is we pray a prayer to God and we make this demand and this list before God. God, this is what I need you to do. And we make that on Sunday. And if God hasn't done it by Sunday night, Sometimes our faith begins to wane, and if Monday or Tuesday we have not seen it come to pass, our faith wanes even more. Just to come in here on Wednesday night and to get a shot of faith from Bishop, and then it wanes again on Thursday and Friday. If you are going to see what God sees, you are going to have to seek Him every day, all day, for the rest of your life. It cannot be stepping in on Sunday and stepping out on Sunday afternoon, stepping in on Wednesday and stepping out on Wednesday night. If you are going to get a hold of what faith says you can hold, you are going to have to look through the eyes of God all day, every day, for the rest of your life. The problem is we surround ourselves, I don't want to say problem because it is problematic, but the issue is we surround ourselves in faith-filled movements like Living Way and faith-filled churches like Living Way, and there is a prophetic voice here. How many of you know what a prophet is? A prophet in the Old Testament was also called a seer, S-E-E-R, meaning he could look from the present and he could look into the future and tell you something that had not yet happened was going to happen and could see something afar off. Now, prophets nowadays that come to church want to tell you your driver's license number, your nickname, your social security number. I know my driver's license number. I know my social security number. I know my phone number. I know my date of birth. Tell me something I don't know. Because all you're doing is you're being a representative for the DMV. They can tell me everything you just told me. And we have reduced prophetic, come on now, to a cheap parlor trick. When in actuality, a seer is something that God shows you that has not yet come to pass, but it gets down in your spirit in such a way that you receive a prophetic word on Sunday, and it doesn't matter what it looks like on Monday, I've received a word, I've declared and prophesied that word, and I believe it's going to come to pass. Now, here's where it gets exciting. In the Old Testament, you had Isaiah, you had Jeremiah, you had Hosea, you had Amos. You had all of these great prophets. But when the Spirit of the Lord was endowed in us and on us in the book of Acts, every one of us now has the Spirit of God dwelling on the inside of us. And the same Spirit that moved on Jeremiah, Isaiah, and the Old Testament prophets now is in every New Testament believer. And I don't have to have some prophet meet me in the parking lot. When I talk to God and open my Bible, I can see the prophetic. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, I am a prophet. Tell him, you are a prophet. Ask him what you see. What do you see? Bishop and I, we go to a lot of cow sales and horse sales. And we're always asking, we sit on the front row, we're always asking each other what we see and what's in the ring before us, whether it's cows or horses, because we both have very critical eyes but very different eyes, and we will ask each other what we see based, and we want different perspectives on what we see. But a lot of times, Bishop has talked me out of making a purchase based on what he sees, not what I see. And at the end of the day, I have to live with my purchase. I have to live with what I get in my life. Way too many times you allow other people's perspective to pollute the prophetic in your life, and therefore what God said you need to see, you no longer see because you've allowed someone else's perspective to cloud your vision. The perspective you allow from people better be from God-fearing, Holy Ghost-filled, Bible-toting, scripture quoting, devil slaying, demon chasing people. Otherwise, their perspective is going to hold you back from ever obtaining what God said you could have in a vision. That's why the Bible says, write the vision and make it plain. You know what he doesn't say? Tell your vision to every Tom, Dick, and Harry you meet. Why? Because their perspective will mess up the prophetic in your life. Am I talking to somebody today? How many of you have ever had a dream that you shared with somebody that was God-given, and somebody will say, well, I don't think you heard from God right, and I don't think that's what God was trying to say, and I think God's trying to do it this way, and are you sure that's what God said, and are you sure you really want to do that? What about your family, and have you thought about all they've done is talked you out of the vision that God has seen? Well, Brandon, you've already looked three times. Well, I'm going to look again. Why? Because that's what God told me. You weren't in the altar when God spoke to me. You weren't there at 3 a.m. when God rolled me out of bed, woke me up and said, get out of bed. I'm about to show you something I'm getting ready to do in your family, in your life. You weren't there. I share this testimony all the time. Little Jaden, she's a beautiful 11-year-old girl. 2 years ago, she won third in storytelling in all of state. Out of hundreds of applicants, she came in third for talking too much, basically. Telling a story. So that doesn't mean anything to me. Well, at 9 years old, she won third in state. At 4 years old, she couldn't speak. She spoke gibberish. And Tyler was her translator. It was the cutest thing. We got the videos of her speaking gibberish to Tyler and Tyler translating. She would like a glass of milk. It was like she was speaking in tongues and he was giving the word of knowledge. And he was telling us what she was saying. So we took her to school to sign her up for school. The schools wouldn't take her. Said, we can't take her if she can't talk. So they said, what you need to do is you need to go to 5 days of voice therapy, speech therapy. 5 days, it's going to cost you $1,500 a month and insurance won't cover it. I said, the devil is a liar. I want her to talk, but $1,500? When my kids were little, before we had a two-story house and I had to walk up the steps, I had to go in their room every night. Now they have to come kiss me goodnight wherever I am. I don't tuck them in. They come and tuck me into my recliner. But I would go in and I would pray and I declare things. God, they are blessed. God, they are healthy. God, they are wealthy and wise. Lord, they're not going to fall in the pitfalls of their peers. They're going to be the exception to the rule. They are not a statistic, God. You have destined them for greatness. You have put something on the inside of them, God, that is growing and maturing, and they're going to be a world changer. God, they're going to be millionaires. They're going to fund the gospel. I declare that every night. They're going to be great musicians. They're going to be great preachers. And I always spoke over Tyler, and I believe it's true, that Tyler's going to be a great preacher. He's going to be a great pastor. I speak that over him. But I was praying over Jaden one night, and God said, here's your preacher. I said, but God, she can't talk, and she's 4 years old. They said that she's always going to struggle. They want us to go to speech therapy. He said, they're saying what they see. I'm giving you a vision. I need you to look again. Pastor Manny and I prayed. We prayed every day. We prayed together. We prayed apart. And we were coming up and devising a plan. And so we met one day. And we're sitting on the couch. The kids are asleep. And I said, Pastor Manny, what are we going to do? I said, what has God showed you? And I'll tell you what God has shown me. And we both said at the exact same moment, we are not supposed to pay $1,500. We are not supposed to put her in speech therapy. God is going to heal her. I'm not telling you that works for everybody, but it works for us. That's the word God gave us. So I said, what we're going to do is every night I'm going to go in her room. In the last 30 minutes before she goes to bed, I'm going to teach her to talk. And she sit down, crisscross applesauce. I know the other way we used to say Indian style. That's no longer politically correct. I'm part Indian, so don't get mad. I'm like 0.000008 Indian, so don't hate. So we can't say Indian style. So she would sit crisscross applesauce. That's the dumbest thing I've ever. That's what's wrong with this world is we're replacing Indian style with crisscross applesauce. She'd sit, amen, thank you, Sister Yannette. So she'd sit across from me. At my size, I can't sit crisscross applesauce. So I just sat there. And I'd say, we're going to go through the alphabet, A. And she'd say her version of A. B, she'd say her version. And I said, no. You got to look at my mouth. You can't formulate the right words and the right sounds unless you look at daddy's mouth. And so I began to over-pronunciate, A. And she would say, A. B. It would take us 5 minutes to go through the alphabet. We did this for months. And I'd have speech therapists. You really need to get her in our program. You really need to do this. The school calling. Hey, did you sign her up? We need to get her started. And all of these things. And here we are sitting saying, A, B. All because God gave me a vision and said, Brandon, don't look to anything else. What I promised, I'm going to bring to pass. And you say, Pastor Brandon, how can I take that testimony and apply it to my life? Some of you need to quit listening to everybody, and you need to sit down with your Father, and you need to listen to His voice, and you need to watch how He says it, and you need to see, watch how He pronounces it. Why? Because God is teaching you not only what to say, but how to say it. Your vision is going to come to pass. Going back to the text of Mark 8, he has just fed thousands of people. And him and his disciples, they have left the feeding of thousands of people. And we pick it up in verse 22. And as he is walking, the Bible says he comes to the city called Bethsaida. And they brought to him a blind man unto him. And he besought him to touch him. The first thing I see in this story is the dependence of the blind on other people. Praise be to God that we live in a nation that we can do whatever we want to do. Praise be to God that we live in the greatest state in the union. And we can, listen, if you weren't born in Texas, you got here as quick as you could. Thanks be to God that you didn't have to ask permission to come to church today. Thanks be to God that you didn't have to ask permission to be blessed. Thanks be to God that you didn't have to go to some middleman in some denomination, but you can go straight to God anytime that you want. But the blind people that have no sight and no vision are always dependent on everyone else's whims. Hey, Jesus is in town. Can you take me? No, I got too much stuff going on today. I can take you to Jesus next time. Well, there is no next time. He might never come back to Bethsaida. Well, I'm too busy. You're always connected, and you are always hanging on someone else's plans. How many of you got an older sibling? Raise your hand. It was a great day for me when Sean got a car. I thought. But it was his car and his rules. So I couldn't go wherever I wanted to. When I got in the car with him, I am tied to whoever is sitting behind the wheel. I'm here to tell you, some of us have been living vicariously through other people. Some of us have been depending on other people's faith. Some of us have been depending on other people positioning us. But I'm here to tell you, you are no longer on milk. You are meat believers, and you need to quit depending on people to do and get you to where God is and let God do what He wants to do. So his friends brought him to Jesus. And Jesus took the blind man by the hand and led him out of town. Jaden, come here. And he took the blind man. He took him by the hand. Now, Jaden grew up in this church. This is the only church she knows. This church has been here 12 years. This building's been here 12 years, and she's 11 years old. This is the only church she knows. She plays in this church. She's homeschooled. She's in this church every day for hours on end. She comes out here in the sanctuary and does what she wants to do. She's back in grandma's office. She knows this church. She is comfortable here. This is where she has grown up. How many of you have ever been so comfortable that you feel that you've missed God? You've sat in the church so long that you've grown comfortable. Oh, I've heard that song 10 times. When are they going to learn another one? The songs are not for you. We are not here to make sure you get your song. We are here to glorify God. That means they can sing the same song 50 times every Sunday. It's not about you. It's about bringing glory to God. And so comfortable and being comfortable sometimes robs us of vision. Because we rely way too much on what we see instead of what God has shown us in the Spirit. Right up behind this screen to my right and your left, there's a long hallway. There is one window like those windows up there in that hallway. So during the day you can see, at night you cannot see, it is pitch black. I was up there one day after manpower walking in that hallway alone, and I broke into a dead run. Because I thought I knew how that hallway was laid out. I'm talking about I'm running as fast as I can, Bible and iPad in hand, but I forgot that I thought it made a turn like this and this, but it makes a slight turn and then comes back. And at a full run, I'm talking about nose up against the wall, I about knocked myself out. Because the comfortable place I was in was robbed of light. Let me talk to somebody today. When you get comfortable, the light of God is less dim in your life. Because the life of faith is lived on the edge. Jane sometimes tells me, Daddy, you scare me when you walk on the edge like that, because you and Wolfpaw, that's what she calls my dad, you and Wolfpaw hang your toes out, but I'm comfortable here. I wouldn't do that in the dark, but a lot of us, our light has grown dim because we have become comfortable. And when we are robbed of light, I'm talking to somebody today, when we are robbed of light, we trip over things we would never trip over in the plain light of day. We make mistakes we would never make. We stumble when we would never stumble. And I know the Bible says a just man falls seven times and gets back up again, but a just man should be falling over things he can't see because they weren't there before, not that he can't see because the light has been dimmed in his life because he's got comfortable. I'm talking to somebody today. If it means moving pews next Sunday, move pews. If it means coming from the balcony to the front row, make yourself uncomfortable. Perspective is everything. Have you ever sat on the back row of this building? Sometimes I go back there and take pictures. I sit back there. I want to see what it looks like from y'all's perspective. I've sat on the front row. It looks completely different. I'm going to talk to my back row believers for a minute. If you're easily distracted, get off the back row. Because you see her get up and go to the bathroom four times, and you see that little boy playing with his iPad, and he's digging in his dad's ear, and you've got the ushers having to quiet down this baby over there. I don't see none of that because I'm sitting right there. I am focused. The light is shining brightly. I know exactly what God's saying, exactly what God's doing. Some of us have been living like that too long. We're so far, we're living on the back row, and I'm not coming down on the back row people. Maybe you need to be back there. I don't know. Maybe you're scared. Maybe you don't like to be sweat and spit on. I don't know. But you're back there. That's fine. But I'm telling you, if you need a change of scenery, you better get it, because the comfortable can rob you of vision in your life. Jane, you trust me? You hear? I do. See, that's how a lot of us are. God takes us by the hand. Do you trust me? Because how many of you know if God asks you, do you trust me? He's about to do something. Do you trust me? He's about to do something that makes you completely uncomfortable. He's about to take you a place that you don't know about. And the Bible says that Jesus takes the man by the hand. He takes him and he leads him away from the comfortable. He leads him away from his friends. He leads him to where he is totally and solely dependent on Jesus. Not on anyone else. Jane, you've done a good job. You've navigated this platform and these steps. You've done a great job. I appreciate that. Do you trust me? Put that on for me, okay? When the lights go out and it's you and Jesus, sight no longer matters, and now it's all vision. Can you trust God? Because, you know, listen to this. Just because the sun shines on the mountaintop doesn't mean it shines in the valley. Can I just testify? Sometimes the valleys are completely dark because the mountain that God has taken you is so high that it puts you in darkness, because of where God has taken you is so high that the shadow that it casts. Can I just prophesy to somebody and declare that your future is so great that the shadow it is casting, you are not cast into darkness. You are just in between mountains, and you are waiting on vision to be reveal. You good? You sure? I'm just going to let you go. You just keep walking, all right? Why are you walking so slow? Hey, stop real quick. A lot of times we walk slower. A lot of times we walk slower when we don't hold the hand of Jesus. Let me help somebody with something. Am I preaching today, or am I preaching? Let me help somebody with this. Some of us are complaining that it's taken us too long to get our miracle. And the reason it's taken too long to get our miracle is we're trying to do it by ourselves. And because we're in listen, if I'm going to be in darkness, I'm going with God. That's what Psalm 23 said. When I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, in the darkness, I will fear no evil because God is with me. However, if I am blinded, I've got to walk slower. So we're blaming God on being slow when it is us that will not hold the hand of God that will expedite the process between mountaintops. I'm preaching to somebody today. Be encouraged. Take Jesus by the hand before you leave this building. It's going to expedite you getting to your miracle, you getting to your breakthrough. Keep walking, Jay. Speed up. Double time. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. Turn to your right a little bit. More. Take two steps forward. Take one more step forward. You trust me? You sure you trust me?
Pretty sure.
She's pretty sure. How many of you have ever been there with God? I'm sure on Sunday morning, but Tuesday I'm pretty sure. By Wednesday afternoon, I'm like, God, are you still there? Now, don't move until I tell you to move. Do you trust me? Do you trust me? Do you trust me? Don't move. Do you still trust me? Can you hear my voice? Take three steps back. Do you trust me? Take four steps forward. Take a fifth step forward. Do you trust me? Do you trust me? Take two steps forward. Take three steps forward. Ooh. Ooh. Do I trust me? Take one step forward. I will never let you fall. And if you fall, I'll be there to pick you up. I just need you to hold my hand. Everywhere we go, we're going to navigate like a... Hold on, you're about to trip over that monitor. We got to, there's a step. Come on, we're going to take a step, another step, another step, another step. You're on firm ground now. Let's walk. Come on, let's walk. We're going somewhere. I'm taking you somewhere. I know we've left your friends over there. I know Penelope and Michaela, they've got destiny, but I'm not with them right now. I'm with you. We'll be with them in just a moment. I'm taking you away from your friends. Why? Because you're comfortable over there, and I'm taking you to somewhere that might not be comfortable, but it's going to bring you your vision to pass. It's going to bring you your blessing. Do you trust me? You trust me because you're holding my hand. Look, I'm not even holding your hand anymore, and you're still holding mine. I love that. That's what it takes. We need people with vision that says, God, if you lead me away from everything I've ever known, that's okay. I will follow you to the ends of the earth. You can sit down right there. There you go. Do you trust me? How is it that we shout about vision and we whine process? Let me say that again. How is it we shout about the vision and then we whine about the process? Let me tell you what God has given me, the dream he's given me. And then, God, I didn't know I was going to have to go through pits and prisons. I thought I was just going to be the number one guy in all of Egypt. I thought I was going to rule. That's what Joseph went through, the process, because the vision of God will keep you through the process. Now, I had to sit down Jaden because I wanted to take this to another level and spit in her face, but I don't think a father should do that for an illustration. Are you glad about that? Do you trust me? No, just kidding. Jesus spits, makes clay, rubs it on his eyes, says, what do you see? He looked up, said, I see men as trees walking. I see vision half fulfilled. I see vision, I see glimpses of what you promised. But how many of you know you serve a God that is not a halfway God? We don't serve a God that is not enough. We serve a God that is more than enough. We don't serve a God that is just enough. Because how many of you know if you're completely blind, you go home shouting about getting 50% back. But God said, no, no, no. Why? Again, you're an ambassador of me. I'm not sending you out half full. I'm sending you back to where you came from, overflowing with every good and perfect gift. Touches him again. What do you see now? Complete 2020 vision. You know, I've had people stop me and say, they've literally, man, that guy's always in the altar. Every service he's in the altar. Man, he must have a lot of problems. Could it be that he's just keeping his vision straight? You act like coming to the altar, every time someone comes to the altar, they're getting saved. Sometimes they're just coming to an altar to get some more vision and to get a second touch, a third touch. Sometimes they're coming to look again. Sometimes they're coming to look a fifth and sixth time. You asking why they come to an altar all the time, it leads me to tell. It leads me to this and tells me this about you. You probably only pray every time you come to church. That's it. For some of us, we praise every day. We pray every day. We worship every day. Why? Because we're looking again. We're looking for vision. We're getting vision solidified in our lives. Pastor Becky, if you'll come. Then Jesus says something that is totally unlike the New Testament church. Jesus says, go home from where you came from and don't tell anybody what I've done. That flies in the face of what we preach, right? Testify. Tell everybody what God's done. God did something so awesome in somebody that everyone knew as a blind man with no vision, no future, no destiny, and no purpose. He did something so great in him that he didn't even have to open his mouth to testify. When he walked back down Main Street, people were saying, isn't that the guy that has been begging money, has been blind all of his life? Isn't that the guy who they've literally had to lead to the corner to beg and lead him home every night? Isn't that the man that has been blind since he was born? What happened to him? Well, somebody next to him said, well, I heard he met that man named Jesus, and Jesus led him out of town. Listen, let me tell you something. Your testimony is great from your mouth, but let me tell you, your testimony is huge when other people do your testifying for you. Sometimes they're haters, sometimes they're lovers. But when God does what he wants to do in your life, somebody else is going to testify right alongside you and say, look at what the Lord has done in him. Stand on your feet. Look again. Look again. I grew up South Texas. I grew up watching wrestling. Any wrestling fans that are not too ashamed to say that you watch WWE, raise your hand right now. I see some ladies. God bless these ladies. God bless you. Back in the 90s, there was a man named Stone Cold Steve Austin. Edna, Texas. Grew up in Victoria. On his little vest. Isn't it amazing how anybody else that would wear their underwear and a leather vest would be called all sorts of things, but he was one of the toughest guys that we've ever seen? His little leather vest, he had the letters D-T-A. Anybody remember what that means? Don't trust, thank you, Terry on, I got a witness. Don't trust anyone. That is how culture is raising us to think and believe. Don't trust anyone. It's every man for himself. I believe it is every man for himself, but I believe that I've got Jesus. That I can trust him with anything in my life. I was praying yesterday in my office, and I was getting ready, and I was getting ready for the 9 a.m. message at the time, and I was just praying, and God just started asking me, do you trust me? And I said, God, yeah, I trust you. I said, is that something I need to preach? He said, you might want to preach that. But he said, I'm just asking you. I'm asking you for this next month and year. I'm about to take you on a journey. Do you trust me? What he's saying is, Brandon, you're getting ready to fight the biggest devils you ever fought. Do you trust me? I trust you, God, because if I fight the biggest devils, I've got the biggest levels I've ever been on. I trust you. I want to fill this altar right now with people that have a vision. Now, when I say vision, I'm not talking about you're making $8 an hour and you want to make $8.25. Because that's doable if you'll just show up on time. You don't need all of God to move heaven and earth for you to get a quarter raise. I'm talking about a vision. that God has put something so big in your mind, your heart, whether it is about ministry, family, purpose, job, whatever it is. He's given you a vision that has not yet come to pass. I need you to join me right now. Come on, come on. I'm talking to business leaders. I'm talking to entrepreneurs. I'm talking to family members. I'm talking about those that are wanting bigger families, those that are wanting to start families, those that want to get married, those that want to start a ministry. I met one of our first-time guests between services. I said, he was 20 and his friend was 18. I said, you guys in college and in school? And he said, no, he said, I'm a part of a traveling ministry. Man, it shocked me, 20 years old. I said, man, go out there and be big for Jesus. Do whatever you can do to get people to Jesus. Vision, vision, vision. He's got vision, 20 years old. He's talking about changing the world. God wants to change your world so you can change the world. I've got leaders in this house today. Sister Nicole. Sister Nicole's got a bright mind, an intelligent person that could be doing great things in the world, but she said, you know what? I'm going to give my talents first to God. I'm going to do great things for God. And here she says, stands saying, God, you fulfill some vision, but there's greater, there's bigger. Sister Joanne, Sister Angela, Brother Burton, God bless you. Those that have gathered in this altar today, God is going to do something in you. And God is going to do something through you. But I need you to be able to look again every day of your life and say, I might not see it today, but I'm going to keep looking and I'm going to look it into manifestation in my life. Pastor Manny, I'm going to ask that you would help me. Sister Tammy, if you'll help me. Brother Michael, I know you're getting, we got more people, we got altar ministers. That's all right. We're going to begin to lay hands. Brother Timothy, if you're here.